Shalom, Australia. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu touched down at Maryland's Andrews Air Force Base late on Monday, ahead of his first meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump. On Tuesday, the day before Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu were to meet for the first time since the president took office, the White House announced that Washington will seek to broker a peace agreement between Israelis and Palestinians, but that a two-state solution may not necessarily be the framework to bring that peace to fruition, and that the president will not insist on it. Standing alongside Netanyahu at a press conference in the White House on Wednesday, President Trump said, "I'm looking at a two-state and a one-state. And I like the one that both parties like. The United States will encourage a peace and really a great peace deal." And he added that the matter was important to me personally. While Netanyahu did not explicitly renounce his own commitment to a two-state solution, arguing that his position hasn't changed since his seminal 2009 speech on the matter, he also avoided explicitly mentioning Palestinian statehood. Prime Minister Netanyahu said later in the day that he does not intend to annex the West Bank and offer Israeli citizenship to the millions of Palestinians living there. At another point in the press conference, Trump also issued a good-humored warning to Netanyahu over his government's continued West Bank settlement construction, turning again to the Israeli premier and saying, "I'd like you to hold back on settlements for a little bit." The prime minister argued that settlements were not the core of the conflict, and said that Israel and the U.S. would try to coordinate their positions so that we don't bump into each other on this every time. On Thursday, Netanyahu met with Vice President Mike Pence to discuss the establishment of a mechanism on settlements, and they also agreed to work together in a systematic manner to change the United Nations treatment of Israel. Netanyahu also discussed with Pence his concerns over Jonathan Pollard, a former American spy who served nearly 20 years in prison on charges of spying in Israel before being released in 2015, but is prevented from moving to Israel. Pence reportedly agreed to consider the issue, and it was agreed that the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, would personally take on this portfolio. Prime Minister Netanyahu is said to be reconsidering his promise to build the first new settlement in 25 years following his meeting with President Trump. On Thursday, it was reported that Netanyahu was reevaluating the commitment to the settlers of Amona, who were evacuated earlier this month. Ba'ath Yehudi party leaders vowed on Friday that Israel will build a new settlement. Education Minister Naftali Bennett said promises need to be kept. The Prime Minister signed the agreement to establish a new settlement for the residents of Amona. Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked said the government is obligated to an agreement signed with Amona residents and there is no intention to break it. Yahya Sinwar, considered one of Hamas's most ruthless leaders, has been elected as the group's leader in the Gaza Strip. Sinwar, 55, generally avoids the limelight, but is seen as an unpredictable hardliner who inspires the loyalty of Hamas's military wing's leadership. He will replace Ismail Haniyeh, who is running for the leadership of Hamas's political bureau, to succeed Khaled Mashal. Sinwar, sentenced to life in 1989 for murdering Palestinian collaborators with Israel, spent 22 years in Israeli prisons before being released in the 2011 prisoner exchange deal for IDF soldier Gilad Shalit. In September 2015, Sinwar was added to the U.S. terrorism blacklist alongside two other members of Hamas's military wing, the Izzedine al-Qassam Brigades. A graduate in Arabic, he was born in the Khan Yunus refugee camp in southern Gaza and founded Majid, one of Hamas's intelligence services. Former Nablus governor Mahmoud El-Alul, 67, also known as Abu Jihad, was appointed as the first ever vice president of the ruling Palestinian Fatah movement on Wednesday night, marking him as a possible candidate to succeed Mahmoud Abbas as Palestinian Authority president. He was a longtime leader of Fatah's armed wing before following the group's leadership from Tunis to the West Bank in 1995 in the wake of the Oslo Accords. It was revealed on Tuesday that the Israeli ambassador to Egypt and his team were quietly returned to Israel several weeks ago due to security concerns. Ambassador David Goffrin left at the end of last year and is now carrying out his duties from Jerusalem. although he hopes to return to Cairo soon. Organizers of the Munich Security Conference on Friday hurriedly rearranged the agenda for today's morning sessions after Israel's Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman said he was relishing the original itinerary, on which he was scheduled to share a platform with Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif. Lieberman, Zarif, Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubeir of Saudi Arabia, and Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu were scheduled to be participants in a session entitled Old Crises, New Middle East, which was to have been moderated by BBC's chief international correspondent, Lise Doucette. There will now be a series of separate statements, with Zarif scheduled to speak an hour before Lieberman and another panel discussion in between them, leaving no likelihood of the two men encountering each other. A long-running labor dispute between pilots and management at the El Al airline came to an end on Thursday morning after court-ordered talks yielded a deal. On Wednesday, the labor court had ordered eight pilots threatening to resign to put off the move until Saturday, ordering more talks between the sides. The main dispute revolved around the compensation for pilots between the ages of 65 and 67. Under international aviation rules, pilots have to stop flying commercial international routes at age 65, but El Al pensions only kick in at 67, the official retirement age here for men. Some 40 pilots are trapped in this gap at any given time. On Wednesday, Israel successfully launched into space a new nanosatellite, the first for Israeli academia, that will conduct scientific missions for Ben-Gurion University of the Negev. The GUSAT is the result of a five-year joint project between Ben-Gurion University, Israel Aerospace Industries Limited, and Israel's Ministry of Science, Technology and Space. It is outfitted with innovative cameras that can photograph a large array of weather phenomena and a guidance system that allows operators to choose the areas of research through a dedicated ground station at Ben-Gurion University. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.